Continuing an intellectual pursuit with Dr. John Huber, PhD in psychology, very well known in his part of the world, very well known throughout the country, throughout a radio network that he is actually the chairman of. Let me just say one thing. The pitfalls, in my opinion, of extensive usage of laptops and smartphones is very, very frightening to me, John.
And I think rightfully so. I think we need to be cognizant of the potential. I think we have some very huge conglomerates that probably need to be decentralized or broken up. And, you know, I don't know how or what should happen. I know that in the past we've had other industries that the government has stepped in and broken up to keep one organization from having so much control and power over our country. I think that whether you're talking of Google or Apple or any of those organizations, I think all of them are much bigger than those other conglomerates back in the time when those were breaking up. Al, you would probably be better at that as an economist to go back and talk about those things and those industries. But, you know, that may be an option we may be forced to fall into, especially now when we hear testimony from Google and how they are, you know, right now, they came out today, how they admitted that their computer assistant that listens to your commands and can turn your TV on and do all these other kind of things, that they actually have individuals listening in and listening to people's conversations, even when they think that computer app, whatever, or it's not an app, it's a physical thing called Alexa, that Alexa is even on and they don't even realize. And they've talked about and disclosed that they have heard intimate interactions with each other. They've heard people talking about banking and finance with their personal, you know, bank representative on the phone, and got social security numbers and bank card numbers and stuff over the phone. And supposedly this was all, artificial intelligence and no humans listening to this. And, you know, they're only using information to help you. Yet we see marketing happening all the time. Somebody has a discussion about the new model of car coming out, and all of a sudden their social media is flush with advertisements for that type of car and different dealers who sell that. I've seen it myself with a friend who, I don't use Apple products. I'm an Android person, but one of my partners in my practice. And we were sitting there at lunch one day, and we were talking about a very specific type of headphones that has noise canceling and all that kind of stuff on it, because we do some specialized therapy in my practice, and we were talking about using that to block out other sound and everything else while we were eating lunch. And we get in the car, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden he starts laughing because he pulled up social media on the way back to the office, and he had three commercials right there, three advertisements for that very exact set of headphones that we had talked about.
Big John, let me just say one thing real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but Kathy and I were talking last night, probably 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and we happen to have the Seattle Mariners, Kansas City Royals baseball game on because we're kind of Mariner fans. You know, they're having a good year to start. But anyway, I'll tell you what happened that was absolutely terrifying to me. About 3 minutes into our conversation, we have an Alexa unit in our living room where we listen to music from it. And the Alexa unit broke into our conversation, swear to God, John, and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't get that." I looked at Kathy and I said, what's going on? Now I know what's going on, John. Alexa is listening.
Yes. It's Big Brother, only it's corporate. It's not government.
Yeah.
And then we sit back and we look at tax deductions and tax benefits they've been getting from the federal government, from not only our country, but other countries, these organizations, these corporations.
Right.
And I wonder why. I think they're in there sharing information with these governments. And maybe I sound like a black helicopter person at this point, but, you know, I've been in enough litigation as an expert witness, and I've heard other people testify, and I know that they're capable of doing that. This isn't far-fetched. This isn't technology that hasn't happened yet. This is technology that's here, And I won't have an Alexa in my house. I refuse to have those. And, you know, I think, you know, smartphones are a great tool if you use them wisely, but they need to be charged up out in the living room where you're not having intimate interactions with your significant others. I think smart televisions need to have cameras taken away and not be allowed on there because they're taking pictures of people and watching people.
That's right.
People have hacked into smart televisions and watched families watching their movies and stuff like that. It's people don't realize, and this generation we just talked about who have known no world without it, they are fearless about, you know, sharing intimate pictures with each other, for example. And they think, oh, well, everybody does it. And they don't have this understanding that those pictures are there now forever, and they will be forever.
You know, John, I've got a friend who's been on the show a number of times. He happens to be an expert both on the buy side and the sell side when it comes to medical insurance, et cetera, you know, payer, payee, et cetera, et cetera. He refuses to use a network. He has what he calls a VPN, virtual private network. He said, I won't use a network anymore because they scare the daylights out of me.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? John,
well, I pay special fee to have a HIPAA-compliant place to be able to accept and receive medical information because I'm concerned with that exact same thing.
Exactly. I don't blame you. John, I want to go to a different subject just for a second here. We've got about 2 minutes left here. Please be cognizant of that.
Yes.
Ryan also sent me some information on the acceptance or lack of acceptance of political correctness in the country. Can you elaborate?
Well, what's happened is we found out that 80% of Americans in general are sick and tired of political correctness. 74% or 72% actually of people ages 24 to 30 something, you know, the millennials are tired of political correctness, and 79% of the people under the age of 24 that were surveyed were against political correctness. And I think what's happened is we've gotten to a point where we can't have a discourse anymore, because the minute somebody doesn't like what you say, they start going off, oh, you're offending me, you have to stop that.
Right.
And the realization is that this country has become a great country because of the ability to exchange ideas, whether you like those person's ideas or not. And we can sit down and discuss those and work through them and find out what the benefits are and the bad sides of all that. And just because you don't like something doesn't mean you can't sit back and be respectful of that person explaining that to you. And that's what democracy is all about. Now we've got a situation where the leaders out there in this country are setting us up so that they can shut us down by saying, oh, that offends somebody, you're now, you know, a misogynist, or you're now a bigot, or whatever, and they use that to control people. And I think that's the real reason why our current president won as president, because the majority of Americans are tired of that, and both parties are guilty of it to some extent, and allowing it to happen or causing it to happen. And that's why, you know, the media goes off on these crazy tweets that our president has. But I think he's out there telling America that he thinks the crazy stuff just like everybody else. And he's not afraid to say it. And I think that's why he has a really good chance of winning again in his reelection, because people are not into that whole political correctness anymore.
You know, I want to put a little plug in here for our weekend special. Jim McKinney is going to be on the show. Jim is very, very active politically. Jim is very conservative. A lot of our listeners don't care for Jim. I happen to consider Jim and his wife to be some of our, Kathy's my best friends. Jim brought up some very, very interesting points at our book club yesterday about the situation with Donald Trump. He is firmly convinced that in spite of what social media is saying right now, that Trump is almost a shoo-in, because the average American, that doesn't necessarily include the Budweiser t-shirt crowd, of which I'm probably one of them, but the average American really appreciates the honesty. Eddie, Irish Tony, I want to know what you think about what Dr. John Huber has to say. And I'm going to hold you to it, especially you, Sir Irish. I value all of your opinions. CFS, out of the box, everybody. See you next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.